It's fun to smile and delight in things. This is Dr. Herbert L. Bowerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. It's fun to smile and delight in things. We saw a movie last night. It was called the Roman something.
Holiday.
Roman Holiday. It's called the Roman Holiday. And it was about Audrey Hepburn and what's his name?
Gregory Peck.
And Gregory Peck. And it showed two personalities. It showed the personality of the actress or the person that Audrey Hepburn was portraying. She was portraying the person of a princess, of a queen, almost, and but a very responsible royal person. And in the beginning of the movie, they tried to get you to feel sorry for her, that she had to put on all of these shows, and yet that's part of her game. That's part of what she chose to be. So she should not have been sorry. She should have just said, let's take a pause. Let's take a pause. Tell them to wait, you know. I'm worth waiting for. But she was upset, and she cried and acted like a little girl. And she wasn't too much older than a little girl, but she acted like a little girl. And we should have gotten from that segment of the film of what was to follow. Now, when we met Gregory Peck, we met a man of impeccable honor, a man of impeccable character, and he would in no way take advantage of this princess, except he wanted to get a story. Well, he didn't know what kind of a story he was bargaining for. He was bargaining for a story about a princess who forgot that she's a princess. Who was a princess who forgot that she had a role to carry out. Oh, she was pretty. She's pretty. She had nice touches to her. She had nice attitudes about her. She made you instantly fall in love with her. Instantly you felt everything she did was right. And yet, what she did was basically all wrong. Her character had not yet been fully established in her. In Gregory Peck, the character of who he was rather fully established, and he had as one of his primary requisites of his character to be able to get the story that he wanted to get, regardless of what he had to do to get it, except he didn't lie. And she didn't lie either, but they didn't lie, and yet they both did. Now, he treated her like the royalty that she was, and yet gave her the opportunity to see everyday life, which she hadn't done before. But the life that he showed her was a very proper, very contemporary life. But she stepped out of character as she started to fight the Secret Service of her own country, who were trying to capture her, and hitting him over the head with a guitar, and doing all sorts of interesting things, and pushing him into the lake or the river, and doing all sorts of things that a princess would not do. In the first place, you wouldn't create yourself in a situation to do that, and in the second place, you wouldn't do it if you were in the situation to do it. You just wouldn't do them. It's not your character. It's not your character. All she would have to do is say to the Secret Service, hey, you work for me. You work for me. Now, you just stand around and watch. I am dancing. You stand around here and watch. You work for me. And what would they do?
They would
instantly work for her. But you see, they took orders from somebody else. They took orders from the Gestapo. And the Gestapo was a people who were supposed to be watching over her, taking care of her. And so instead of taking charge and saying, hey, you work for me, she did it. In the last scene of the movie, she did it. She did it very well. She got up, and she was very demure and very proper, and she did what she wanted to do. She went down and met the journalists because she was curious. She was curious as to who these guys are. Are they journalists? You know, if they're journalists, why haven't they let me know, and so forth. And then what happened to the photographer? The photographer, who wanted to get money out of the job, recognized that he was not going to destroy the character, public character, of a princess just for a few pictures. And nothing she did was wrong, but it was wrong for a princess. And so he gave her the pictures. Not the negative, but the pictures. He probably would never use them again, but he gave her the pictures. And the other man was so enamored, obviously he fell in love, he wouldn't write a story that would in any way put her down. But now, who had the character in this show? Who had the character? The photographer had the character. The man had the character. And the other people who each played their roles, they each had their character. They each played their character very well. Even her lady in waiting, you know. She played her character role, that she was supposed to do this, supposed to do that. And when the princess said no, then that was no. And it was hard to take that there was no. But, and even with the guys who were running the show, you know, the officers of the court and so forth, who said, now look, you can't do this, you can't do this. And she says, and you can't talk about it either. You can tell no one about it. If no one knows about it, it never happened. Mm-hmm. She says, you work for me, you know? And she was very, very strong about it. She wasn't so drastic like that, but she was very clear. And the doctor and the officer both recognized it, the general, you know. They realized they had to back off. That they didn't have to report this into headquarters. They didn't have to do those things, because if they did it, it would mess things up a little bit. It wouldn't really hurt things up. It would just make a little bit of tension. It wasn't necessary. But you see, where was the character? The character was not as you so wantingly would have put it in this beautiful girl, because she was a budding character. She had not yet found out who she was. She was not an evil or a bad girl, in no way, although she knew what she was doing. She knew what she was doing in all these different poses that she had. And she played the coy little kitten. And if she had been with a person who had been less respectful of her, which she couldn't have done, because she wouldn't create herself in a situation like that. She creates herself in a situation with people who respect her. But why do some people get raped? Because they create themselves in the circumstance with someone who would do that. And if you just create yourself in a circumstance where no one would even think of doing something like that to you, much less you yourself, then it wouldn't happen. But you say, oh, come on now, it's not so. Yes, it is. We had a student who wrote in about the fact that in previous lives, rather in before she came onto this dimension of life, she chose the body and the experiences that she was going to have. And she didn't like that when she was told that, because the body and experiences that she had were not all that nice. And then, as we explained to her, that wasn't God outside of her. That was just her own decision. The God inside of her, and the God that exists, the only God, wants her to be happy and wants her to have a fulfilled being. But she has to change her attitude from being a sick person to being a well person. And is she strong enough to do that? And the answer is yes. Does she want to do that? And that's the decision that she's in right now. Did the princess want to be a princess and be recognized as a princess at all times, or did she want to let her hair down or cut it off? So here she is, a princess, with his long hair going way down to her shoulder blades, or better, and she told the barber, cut it off. And he did a beautiful job. But what happened? She was out of character. She was sort of incognito. She wasn't recognized. She went around doing things, that eating ice cream, you know. Now, don't princesses eat ice cream?
Yes.
Maybe not.
Not in that way.
Maybe not. Do princesses eat hot dogs and stuff like that? Yeah. You see, the thing is, if you're going to play the role, you got to play the role. Now, that movie could have been equally as wonderful if she had been the pure princess all the way through. Not the naughty little girl, but the pure princess who would say, I'd like to see that. I'd like to try that. But putting her hand into the mouth of the truth teller was very significant, you know. And of course it was for her. And of course it was for the story, too. But the story could have been written so that it didn't have to have the raping and the things like that. Not that those things took place, but it didn't have to have anything which was contrary to the highest good. And this young lady who was written to us, she's merely one of many, and she wrote and she said, I want to be whole and perfect. And then we wrote back to her, if you want to be whole and perfect, then start thinking whole and perfect. Start naming it and claiming it. Start calling yourself whole and perfect. Start recognizing that you are wise and you are brilliant and you are whole and perfect. And that every organ, action, function of your body is whole and perfect. You know? I have a lot of people who come to service my equipment, and they generally say, I don't like apple. And unfortunately, I didn't call an apple person direct who is out on his own. I called a geek or something, like that. And these are really PC people. And they just do apple on the side, and then they encourage people not to do apple. And it's unfortunate. But what do I think of a person that I have hired and telling him, I want to install my Apple time machines, my time capsules. I want to install my time capsules. I want to install my Apple time capsules. Can you do that? Yeah, nothing to it. And he comes, and he couldn't do it. In fact, he put them aside. He says, you don't want these. I said, they were brand new. And he put them aside. Now, what do you think I think of him? What do you think I thought of him from the moment he showed his colors? You know, what do you think I thought? I thought, here is a person who is going to do it his way, and it might not be my way. And obviously it wasn't my way. And then he told me to order a device that might work. And then when it didn't work, he said, well, of course it didn't work. You know, now we'll have to take it back. But I want to check it out and see. But he didn't give me his address, so I know where to go and to get it, or to know what to do. Now, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. But he's like Audrey Hepburn and the princess. He didn't really want to be a princess. He wanted to be a playboy. And Audrey Hepburn didn't want to be a princess, she wanted to be a playgirl, you know. She just wanted to be out there and have fun. Now, I have made the statement 100 zillion times, and I'll probably make it 100 zillion times more. if you say you are a prince or a princess, you know, then at all times, under all circumstances, you must act like a prince or princess. At no time can you allow yourself to pretend that you're not. And I say, any queen worth her salt, or king, who has a child, prince or princess, or both, and who lets them associate with the riffraff, with the filth, with the garbage, now Herb, that's pretty strong talk. Well, if you let the kids go out and play in the dump, they're going to come home with dump experiences, you know. If you let the kids go play on the basketball court, they're going to come home with basketball experiences. If you let the prince and princess go out and play with the commoners, they're going to want the desires the commoners have. And they don't want the desires the commoners have. That's not their position in life. Their position in life is being prince and princess. And as prince and princess, their position in life is one four-letter word. They are a model for the people. They are an example. They are a role model. Four-letter word. A role model. They're a role model of royalty and magnificence, and all the people look upon them and say, that's the prince. You know, that's the queen, that's the king, that's the princess. You don't expect them to do anything unprincely. And if they ever do anything unprincely, then fire them. Get a new prince or princess or queen or king in there. But this is true. This is true. And in any organization, you hire a person to do your bookkeeping, and they're more interested in finding out about how your advertising is going. Well, put in an advertiser and take them out of bookkeeping. Put them where their heart is, where their desire, where their talent is, or something, you know. But I got to get the bookkeeping. Well, then hire a bookkeeper. And don't go selling the company to people on the basis of what it does and how it does it and so on. We want a bookkeeper who can keep books. And keeping books, you don't need to know anything about the company. All you need to know is what are the columns and what are the figures and how do you keep them in order. And the minute you start getting your nose into what the business is all about and how it operates and all those sorts of things, you are not an efficient bookkeeper. Sylvia, who would make the most ideal husband in the world? The man who was interested in his wife or the man who was interested in everybody else's wife?
Easy question. The first one.
But you didn't answer it, you just laughed. And I wouldn't laugh.
The first one.
Well, I wouldn't laugh. Because that's not funny. The guy who's interested in everybody else's wife, shoot him. Mm-hmm. You know? If you are the ideal husband, you are... Come.
Interested in your wife?
You are interested in your own wife 100%. Now, you know other people, but you have no interest in them. You're not interested in these other women as wives or as sex objects. You're interested in your wife as that, if you're in a monotheistic country, you know, if you have one woman, one man. Now, if you're living in an Islamic country and you have many husbands, many wives or whatever it is, then that's a different situation. That's a different situation. Now, can you be true to who you are? If you stand up for your character at all times, there will be people walking on your character. They'll be trying to put you down because you're too good to be true, you know? They can't believe that anybody is that wonderful, that anybody is that magnificent. And so they trample on you. And as they trample on you, they hurt themselves. They may apparently or outwardly hurt you, but they don't hurt you. Because where are you? You are in your character. You are in who you really are. And you are untouched. Now, can you be untouched that way? Can you be untouched by the world that goes on around you and just be who you are? Are you the prince and, or princess? Are you really? Ellen, all of our relationship life has always wanted to be a princess from the court of Liechtenstein or someplace like that, or Luxembourg, Liechtenstein, yeah. And she wanted to wear, huh?
That's what you said.
And she wanted to wear a beautiful gown and white, and she wanted to just sort of flow around like an angel, and she wanted to look so beautiful and so wonderful. And I thought to myself, that's the only way I see you. That's the only way I see you. So why do you talk about it? And so now, what does she come up and say? She says, that's the opinion I have, not the opinion she has of herself. Now, what is she saying? She is saying that at one time she may or may not have had that opinion, but now she doesn't have that opinion of herself.
Now I am the queen.
Now she doesn't have the opinion of herself that she is the princess. Princess means ultimate.
Oh.
Queen means ruler.
Oh no, then I'm the prince.
Prince means playboy, delightful, fantastic guy who's always perfect, always doing the right thing, having fun, right?
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
And what's a king?
The
work.
Yes, yeah,
the boss, you know. He's got to worry about everybody else's life and his too and
that's
his country.
True.
Now, what do you want to be, the king or the queen? Or the prince or the princess?
Princess.
Well, of course, anybody in their right mind is going to be a prince. Now, why do I talk about prince and princesses all the time as training them to have the right values?
Mm-hmm. Like,
Yeah, your grandchildren. Every time I see them, I tell them what I think of them. And I think of them as prince or princesses. And they instantly rise up to it. And educationally, they rise up to it. And sporting-wise, they rise up to it. And social-wise, they rise up to it. They do not allow themselves to be associated with any people who are not harmonious with their attitudes. And if they are thought to be doing something bad or wrong, that too is not able to be withheld because they have the character of not doing that. And so, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Are you the princess who wants to go out and have fun as the commoners do? Are you the Gregory Peck who played the role of the perfect gentleman? The perfect gentleman. Amazing man. And the young man who is with him, I'm sure he's a famous actor at some later time too. But he was very responsive to him, very good too. This is the kind of people we want in our life, the kind of people we want in our world. And we have to start with being that ourselves. So now, I see all the people who come into our world who want to work with us and who want to share with us and who want to do things with us, I see all of them honorable and fantastic and wanting to see that we get the highest and the best, not just talk about it, but make it happen. And that includes ourselves. Not just talk about it, but be it. Yes, Ingeborg, you, in setting the table, you set the table for who? Quick, please.
For myself.
You set the table as the princess you are for yourself, and you set it perfectly, don't you? Everything is in perfect place. And if there's any egg that's on the table left over from 2 days before that you hadn't wiped off of the placemat, you check those things out. Now, it's not a matter of that. And how does Sylvia make the eggs for Herb in the morning? Sylvia, how do you make the eggs for Herb in the morning?
With love.
You make the eggs for the prince, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You make the eggs for the prince. You make the eggs for the prince, which are the finest eggs in the entire universe. They're cooked just perfectly. And each morning you make them differently with maybe Eggs Benedict, or maybe with Over Easy, or Up, or Scrambled, or you know, with a variety of imagination, and with a variety of inclusions in it, you know. And you make it with all of your heart and all your soul, and it's not watery and it's not dry, it's just perfect, you know. And that takes a little bit of caring. But you can only do that for the prince, you know, or yourself. And Ellen, what do you do? When you come here in the morning, do you have a little note in your mind of three or four items that you're going to use as conversation pieces to establish conversations with us at breakfast time?
Okay.
So that we sit at the table here and talk about magnificent, uplifting, revealing things, because you have three princesses and a prince here, you know. And then you got Rex, the king. And so, little love, you have all these wonderful people here. Now, you should encourage them, inspire them to talk about things that are charming, you know. And what would be one charming thing? And we're not going to do it today, but what would be one charming thing? One charming thing would be to have you turning in the report of what's on your mind for all of the magic that you have going on, of like you started to do yesterday, about each person here, seeing them in a special way. And the program didn't end, but it seems to have ended, because there are no slips. And there's no interest. There's no interest. Some of you just don't get it done, and some of you get it done improperly. And some of you are doing it not like a good proofreader. You don't find your own errors. Now, just to play a little game there, that is everybody worth a 1 to 10?
Sure.
Then why don't they have it? Every issue, you have 1 to 10 next to every column, next to every list. And if you don't know how to do that, then you learn how to do it. But the thing is, do it, and do it right. Now, I'm just saying these things because when I give you these opportunities to do these things, they're not just one thing. They're not just writing something nice about each other. They're doing it in a professional way. They're doing it in a professional manner of using tables or whatever you have to use to get it done. And using it so that it is going to be something that is spelled correct throughout. And the figures are flush right, and the copy is flush left. You know? And what is my favorite thing? Is it flush right, flush left, or justified? What is my favorite thing?
Justified.
If anything comes through to me unjustified for me, what am I going to think?
Careless.
Huh?
Careless.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
It's not what I want. It's careless. I don't like it. Well, that's what the programs are. The programs are all flush left. And I don't like that. So, the programs that go to Switzerland.
Ah!
Ah!
The flyers.
I'm sorry?
The flyers, you mean?
The flyers, yes. Mm-hmm. The flyers, the program. So, we want to always give our best and always do our best. And we know what we're supposed to do. And so, that is that. Now, Ellen, either memorize it or write it down or tell somebody each to bring up a topic, but have three or four topics at breakfast and every meal where we can have, where we can have a charming little...
Oh, poor Ellen.
Amen.
Amen.